This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. And this, to me, was the strangest week of this COVID sports season when we had all these different sports kicking up at the same time. You know, like basketball was delayed, but it was still in the winter. And the first spring season, yeah, football was in the spring. That was weird. Volleyball was in the spring. That was weird. Boys soccer in the spring was weird. But at least all those sports are normally played at the same time of the year, obviously in the fall. But this week, when you still had all that going on, plus baseball, softball, and girls soccer getting underway, all of a sudden it's like, wow, there is just a lot going on right now in terms of high school sports across the state. We knew it was coming. You know, we knew this was going to happen at some point. But, man, what a tough time to be a high school athlete at a small school. As each school, of course, has different, I guess, policies in place. You know, some schools not allowing their kids to compete in multiple sports at the same time. A lot of schools, I feel like, are allowing their kids to compete in all the sports that they want, no matter what the schedule looks like. Then it's just upon the player and the coaches of each team to kind of get together and get a plan together. But it is certainly strange to give volleyball scores, boys and girls soccer scores, baseball scores, softball scores, and football scores. And coming up here, obviously, shortly, we'll get into the track and field season. We're going to have summer wrestling. That will certainly be a different take for our high school wrestlers coming up this spring when they begin their wrestling campaign. We had high school volleyball on the radio last night. It was fantastic. Had a great time at the Woodshed in Raymond with Lincolnwood and Carlinville. It was senior night for the Lancers, and they went out in style as they beat Carlinville in two. And that senior group for Lincolnwood winds up, I guess, winning 96 games in their high school careers. Truly remarkable for that group. So congratulations to the Lincolnwood senior group on an amazing high school volleyball career. So we had volleyball on last night. We're going to have wrestling coming up in the middle of May. Yes, you heard me right. We're going to have wrestling in the middle of May. We're going to do the Litchfield-Hillsborough match in the middle of May. No more details on that to come. Well, softball got underway this week, and well, right on cue, here comes the rain for the softball season this spring, and we should have on the phone with us right now Southwestern head coach Peg Mitchell. Good morning, Peg.
Good morning.
Well, now, I didn't look at the schedule wrong, correct? Your doubleheader with Jerseyville was supposed to be today, but I assume it got moved because of the weather?
Correct, yep. Jerseyville contacted us and said, you know, the weather looks kind of rough for Saturday. What about Friday? And we were able to get our doubleheader in yesterday.
Peg, talk to me about just the excitement level for you and your kids when you got to play your first game, really in almost 2 years, it felt like.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, no matter what school you're at, there's some excitement and just being happy to be back on the field.
I was thinking about this. The last softball game we had on the radio was your super sectional game against Stanford Olympia, and with everything that has transpired, Peg, that might as well have been 10 years ago.
It definitely seems that way, doesn't it? It's, you know, everybody asks about, you know, what's this team look like this year, and I said, you know, everybody's got to remember that whoever was a sophomore is a senior now. Right. So, you know, what you thought was a team has a completely different dynamic just because of the maturity of the player and some that are gone.
And obviously, with last season being canceled, you guys were loaded coming back off of that super sectional appearance. So talk to me about the difference between the team you have this year versus the team you were going to have last year.
Yeah, you know, you're the first person to ever ask me that, yeah.
Original, I know.
No, I mean, you know, the team, there was obviously high hopes for last year. But, and I told the team for this year, I said, you're going to hear a lot of comments about what could have been last year. I said, we've got to put that in the past. It was an opportunity that we didn't have by no fault of our own. I said, we just got to move forward with what we do have and continue to play. And I said, the potential's there. We just have to develop and go for it. And that's what, you know, last night we saw that. At times we played very well, and at other times we did not play very well. So consistency is going to be a big issue for us.
And I've seen that really across the board in all the sports since we got started back up. It's just the level of play, probably not accustomed or not, you know, what we're used to But it's to be it's to be expected because, quite frankly, they didn't have anywhere close to the normal type of work that they're used to get.
Oh, there's no doubt, in my situation with the team that we have this year, with the volleyball overlap and the softball overlap, half my team plays volleyball. So, I feel for those players because they're exhausted right now and the season's just started. They're doing double time in two sports.
And I guess for you, that's another layer on your plate here in terms of, monitoring that situation and making sure that they still have their legs when it gets to game day.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we played yesterday and, normally we would have had a practice on Saturday, but I said, take the day off. We're not doing that because our week next week for those players that are two sporters, they have volleyball on Monday, volleyball on Tuesday, the games. We have game on Wednesday. They have a volleyball game on Thursday. We have softball on Friday and Saturday. So, next week is the last week of the overlap, but it's going to be an exhausting week for those players.
How challenging do you think it is for the kids in terms of when you're playing two sports at a high level at the same time? That's mentally, that just has to, it has to be such a grind.
And that's what I was just going to say is, the physical part is tough, but the mental part is even tougher because you're trying to be mentally prepared for two sports, for two scouting reports. And in the softball situation, we're still learning our different sets and our different plays and different things that we want. So, my hat gets tipped to those players that are being two-sport athletes right now.
Talk to me specifically about your team this year, Peg. Who are some of your standout players?
Well, Bree Roloff returns, and mm-hmm. She definitely tops that list. She was an all-stater as a sophomore. So, she's definitely there. She played really well last night. I think she went 7-for-9 in the doubleheader with a home run. Then steps in right behind her is Megan Bailey, who was, another all-stater, all-conference player for us, who had a home run for us last night as well. It plays behind the plate, and this year maybe in the outfield a little bit on some games. So, those are the two right there. But, stepping up is Sydney Baumgartner, who, was a tremendous pitcher behind Bailey Nixon, and now she steps into that lead role. My other senior then that we have, is stepping onto the field and doing good things for us as well.
I was thinking about Bree Roloff, and I know softball has changed since they moved the rubber back. We get a little more offense now. But, man, Bree Roloff, she hits not only for average but power.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely no doubt about that. All four seniors, whether it's Bree, Megan, Sydney, or Josie Bullion, all of them, there's a reason they're 1, 2, 3, 4 in the lineup because they're the ones that are putting the ball in play and doing some things. Sid struggled a little bit from the plate last night, but I told her, I said, you don't worry about that. You have one job to do and one job only. That's to pitch the game. So, those four I expect a lot of senior leadership from.
I would imagine that first day of practice was about the most excited kids have ever been on the first day of a practice.
It's a difference between, I don't disagree that it's excitement, but there's definitely a level of just happiness of just being back on the field, of not losing what we lost last year.
And that's exactly right. That's been my theme all year. At least the kids get a chance to play. And my gosh, if your senior group wouldn't have had a chance to compete at all, that would have been a flat travesty.
Oh, there's no doubt. To lose two seasons would have been, brutal. And the fact that the IHSA is letting us have a state series this year as well, since we lost that. We hope to, play well in conference and then be playing our best ball by the time the state series starts.
Sounds good. Peg Mitchell, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck this year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's the head Southwestern softball coach, Peg Mitchell. Yeah, the last softball game we had on the air would have been May 27th, 28th, Memorial Day weekend, 2019. We were up there at Athens. Beautiful facility up there at Athens. Long time ago.
Never would have thought that day that would be it for a while.
That's exactly right. And that was, kind of what a lot of people realize as everything just got taken away abruptly. It's like, man, you just do have to sit back and just appreciate it when you get it.
Oh, yeah.
Because who would have ever thought that we would not have sports for a year?
Yeah. We didn't think that last year when this was all happening, because it's like, oh, it'll be, we'll have it in a few weeks. And then a few weeks later, well, it's probably coming soon. And it never came.
It never came.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the hats off to the IHSA for getting all these sports seasons in this year. And, you know, we've heard our coaches, we've talked to them here throughout the last several months. It's a little bit of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a little bit of a cluster situation going on, but that was going to happen. I mean, there was no way to have every sport on the calendar and not have massive overlapping of seasons. And it will be one heck of a story for these kids to tell.
Oh, yeah. And as Peg said, it is nice that baseball and softball get a postseason series, considering they lost out on everything last year. The spring sports lost
everything
last year.
That's right. And there was so much, rightfully so much attention paid to the senior group last year for what they lost. And they did lose. You know, they lost their spring season, and they really lost their graduations. But you think about the group that's seniors now,
mm-hmm.
that were juniors last year. They have wound up a lot more displaced than that senior group did, because they still lost all their spring stuff for their junior year. And then their whole senior year is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm not talking about sports. I'm just talking about life in general. I mean, your last year of high school is just supposed to be carefree, you know, like, just enjoy it. It's your last time to just be a kid. So you're just supposed to be able to just have fun. And there's been nothing fun for these, like in terms of going to school, you know, like all the protocols, and they're all necessary. I'm just saying they have had a terrible run. Their last 2 years of high school, last year and a half of high school, have been awful.
Yeah.
Through no fault of their own.
But I haven't heard any complaining, really. I mean, I'm just not listening, but they've handled it very well, it seems.
They've handled it extremely well. And I've said this before, and other people have said it. Kids adjust a heck of a lot better than adults. You know, kids roll with the flow. All right. Like, because we would talk to the coaches about, are the masks a problem? No.
Yeah.
Every coach? No. And they all had the same reason. They wear the mask all day at school.
Just let me play.
They're just used to it. Just let me play. Just let me play. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday, David. I hope the weather this spring cooperates. I mean, my gosh, isn't that about right, though? It's like they get their season back. They're going to have postseason. How many days are we going to have that are like this?
Yeah.
Right now.
Who knows? Especially because last year it was beautiful.
Beautiful
spring.
There probably wouldn't have been a single cancellation last year.
Probably not, yeah. And now, yeah, hopefully it warms up more. And I'm glad that it has warmed up compared to where we were a month ago or so. But we're in the 50s right now.
Yeah, I'm not calling that warming up, David.
Well, we were like at 30 for a long time and 20 for a long time.
Well, yeah, but it was February and March.
I know.
March
got really nice in March there for a few weeks. Like, we got to 70-degree weather, and then we're back in the 50s now.
Yeah.
So,
well, we didn't get to break. You're going to give us a weather update,
I am,
but there's a chance of snow on Tuesday. I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth when I said that, but yeah.
So. I will confirm or deny that after the weather.
We'll take a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following this.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. Hey, you can find the volleyball broadcast from last night podcast form at WSMIRadio.com. And we had
a phantom with the football game.
A phantom? I don't know what that means.
A phantom? Somebody, something.
Oh, I got
messed
you.
Up our game.
I understand now.
A phantom?
Yes.
Something you can't see.
I see. There we go. I get it now. So, yes, we had a phantom on the football game. Something happened. I do not know what happened. We had a recorded football game, Gillespie Staunton, and Gary and Dan. Fantastic job, as always. And inexplicably, at the end of the first half, and again at the end of the fourth quarter, the game switched from Gillespie Staunton week 5 to Hillsboro Roxana from week 1. I have no idea, no clue what in the world happened. It makes absolutely no sense. That file from week 1 has been long since removed. So I just don't know. I have no clue what happened. I wish I had an answer. But I have no answer So apologies for what transpired with the Staunton-Gillespie game. And hey, it was a great night for the Bulldogs. They picked up their first win of the year, beating their arch rivals from Gillespie 28-21 last night. But we had a phantom stole our broadcast last night.
Synonym for ghost.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
On the phone right now is Gillespie Miners head baseball coach Jeremy Smith. And Jeremy, fantastic to talk to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, very good. And you had a very fun week on the baseball diamond.
Fun start to, you know, the new season. Just glad to be back out there. Glad for the kids to be able to finally get back on the ball field.
What was the mood? Because you guys opened up at Greenville University earlier this week. What was the mood on the bus ride over there?
Excitement.
Yeah.
You know, trying to keep their mask up the whole way over to Greenville was a challenge, but I'm sure that's going to be the story of the year. But they were excited. Yeah, really looking forward to it. So.
And the nice thing is, I saw the ads, you said they have changed the mask policy for the spring sports. So at least when the kids are playing, they're not going to have to wear a mask, which, I mean, that's just common sense and is a good idea.
Right, right. I'm glad they made that change. I'm just kind of wish they would have done it for, you know, the other sports, basketball and football. But I'm glad that they kind of saw the right thing to do and made the switch.
You know, we'll get back to the baseball in a moment, but just on the mask topic, obviously, Jeremy, you're a basketball official, so you were involved with all that during the basketball season, and, you know, a lot was made about the players and the masks. It didn't seem like it was any type of issue from a playing perspective. I came away with the impression it was more of an issue for the officials trying to officiate in a mask. Just kind of your thoughts, experiences on that whole situation.
It was one of the most awkward things I think we've ever done as an official, trying to either – we started out using the electric whistle and then trying to signal with the electric whistle in your hand and, you know, report a foul, and that turned into a disaster. So then we switched to the whistle under our mask, and that was a disaster as well, but we didn't really have a choice, so we just ran with that. So.
Yeah, I just every time I watched an official there, I thought, man, that just looks awkward and just uncomfortable. And it sounds like that's exactly how it was for you guys. So from back to the baseball diamond, not having a season last year, what was the shape of your kids' arms and batting eyes as you started ramping up for this season?
I think their arms were in decent shape. I got a really good group of kids that do a lot of work on their own. Some of them were playing ball with the Legion team out of Alton, you know, up until we started practice a couple weeks ago. As far as the batting eye goes, I always think that the batters are a little bit, you know, behind on getting started. You know, the pitchers are always a little bit ahead, just because we don't get an opportunity to see a lot of live pitching before your first game. So, all in all, I think we're coming along fairly decent. But only time will tell, of course.
And you guys had a thrilling win the other day, the good old walk-off.
Yeah, against Metro East, we were down 6-4 going into the bottom of the ninth. Well, actually, we were down 4-2 going into the bottom of the sixth, and then scored one in the sixth and one in the seventh. Metro East got two in the top of the ninth, and then we scored three with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. To win it. So, yeah, it was exciting.
Talk to me a little bit about your club this year. I know you've got some talented kids on your roster.
Yeah, my senior group is the team that got fourth at state when they were eighth graders. You know, we got Cameron Hailstone is probably the leader of the group, both vocal on and off the field. You know, we got other seniors like Anthony Rebus and Preston Kaler. Aiden Madeline, who got the winning hit on Thursday. All good group of kids. We got some juniors mixed in there. The starting quarterback, Zach Reinisch, wasn't going to play last year and decided to come back this year, which was nice to see. We got some sophomores, you know, the Bolton kid and Cameron Link. And then my freshman class got second at state as eighth graders. So we got a lot of talent. it's going to be hard to find, you know, a spot for everybody, but that's kind of the nice thing about playing 35 ball games. You got opportunities to get kids in and see what they can do before the postseason rolls around.
It sounds like you got yourself what they call a good problem, Jeremy. It's like, well, I got all these talented kids, but I've only got 9 spots here.
Right. We're not like softball where we can play that DP flex or whatever. Well, I guess we can now. I take that back. They put that in for baseball, but it's one of the most confusing things I think I've ever seen. And Michelle's in the car with me, and she's nodding her head yes.
So is that the biggest rule change, I guess? I hadn't even thought about that in terms of what the last time we saw high school baseball being played. Is that going to be the biggest change?
I think so. And I'm not even going to try to explain it to you, because I've asked, Dave Schwartz, who's my official buddy, and he's explained it 4 different ways, and I still don't have a clue. So
that's not good.
Probably won't be seeing Gillespie baseball using it very often.
Jeremy, before I let you go, I just had this pop into my head. You and Michelle, you guys put so many hours, like all baseball and softball coaches do at the high school level, into getting your fields prepped. Were you still doing that last year when you had no games?
We still did, maintenance, things to get it ready. I know Michelle had got like her windscreen up and her backstop up, and she had, expecting to play, so she had to take that down. I didn't do any of that because I just hadn't got around to it. But yeah, I think we went out there off and on, dragging it, keeping weeds off, cutting grass, fertilizing, all those good things that, that go into it.
You didn't dump down any Diamond Dry just for old time's sake?
I think Joe Kelly, Michelle's assistant, wanted to, but she talked him out of it.
Jeremy Smith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck to the Gillespie baseball softball teams this year.
Thank you. We'll see you down the road.
All right. That's Jeremy Smith, the Gillespie baseball coach. And, I should have asked Jeremy about the official shortage as well, because there was a girls' soccer game. I think it was Wood River, and I don't know who the opponent was supposed to be this week, but it had to get canceled because there was no officials. And, that we've been sounding the alarm on that for a number of years, well before the COVID stuff came along, about this is going to be a problem sooner than later. I mean, I don't know what the average age of our officials is, but it's up there. It's not as high as like the average age of like a politician, but it's a pretty big number. You don't see a lot of young officials like Jeremy out there anymore. And Jeremy might say, hey, I'm getting up there myself. And Jeremy's been around for a while now in terms of on the officiating scene. And we need to see people younger than Jeremy now getting into the officiating business, or else we are going to continue to have a big, big problem. And, if you're someone who's thinking about getting into officiating, you can go to IHSA.org. That's a great resource. Get a hold of Louis Lane. That's always a fantastic choice. He's real good about helping aspiring officials kind of get started, because sometimes you're not really sure how to get started or what's the first step that I need to do to get into the officiating business. And Louis Lang is usually a good way to get started there. But if we don't start to see, an influx of officials here, we're going to continue to see a rising problem.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. We've mentioned this, as you said, so many times. Terry mentioned it so many times. Every single time we've had officials on the air, which is quite a few times, this is not a new problem. And COVID seems to have, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but
exasperated.
Exasperated, yes, or exaggerated, whatever, either one. It has made it more of a problem. So, yeah, it's not going away, and it's probably expedited it too.
And, there's lots of reasons why people don't want to be officials. Everybody, there's no hard and set list of why. It's just personal choices for why people don't want to do it. But we've heard, officials, I know Rick Toll has said before, you basically are doing it for free.
Yeah.
You get your check, then by the time you drive home, stop and get a cold frosty one, there's not much left. They do it
once you're home.
Right. They do it because they love the sport and they care about the kids and they want to see the kids have an opportunity to play. But, it's not real, I wouldn't think, appealing to someone to think, oh yeah, okay, so I'm going to go put in, however long the drive will be,
mm-hmm.
the 2 hours of the game, get yelled at, berated, told how stupid I am for the entirety of the game.
And make then sure make sure I make an eye doctor's appointment.
Right, exactly right. And after all that, why would you want to do it?
Right, yeah. Thankless job. If you have a good night, you're not going to get told that.
Well, no, because no, there's never been an instance, well, I shouldn't say never. Very rarely is there an instance where both groups of fans walk out and go, you know, that officiating crew was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The team that won is probably saying, oh, they were fine. The team that lost is lamenting the blown calls as they saw it yeah. in their mind. But I can't imagine a circumstance where both fan bases said, oh, that was a well officiated game.
Yeah.
Even though most games are well officiated.
Right.
And you know that. It's interesting, like, from my perspective as a neutral observer, like, when I watch a game, are there missed calls? Sure. Happens. That's part of it. I mean, you watch any level of sports and you see missed calls. That's just the way that sports and officiating works. There's only been one instance where I've ever seen a call cost a team a game.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about a few weeks ago, it was the Riverton Southwestern sectional basketball game with the bucket clearly scored after the horn.
I would venture to guess there has never been a perfectly officiated game.
No, absolutely not. Just like no one has ever had a perfect day
right.
in life. That's just how it works. Like, obviously, we're not breaking news here.
No.
You know, this isn't rocket science. People make mistakes.
Do they?
Yes. Well, yes. Every single day, I think.
I wouldn't care to live if I thought
sometimes
that.
Two in the same day, David.
Whoa.
I know.
Okay. Hold on.
I know.
I'm going to need to take the rest
of
the day.
You know, that, and I'm not trying to say that this is some sort of new phenomenon with officials getting the business from the fans, because that has always been the case. But it is definitely different now, especially with the social media aspect. But officials take a lot more grief now than they did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And that is leading into the situation that we see now. If you're 22, 23 years old, getting out of college, you know, and you think, oh, yeah, I might want to be an official. What? Where's the incentive?
Right.
You know, what's the positive for you as an official? You know, we talked about what the people who do it and have done it for a long time, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they like the sport and they want to make sure the kids have an opportunity to play.
Well, and the IHSA's got a job to do here where they're going to have to seemingly get really creative about how they're going to draw in some younger officials or more officials in general, because we're, what, 10, 15 years away from catastrophe? I mean, we're in a big problem now, but...
It might not be that long.
Yeah.
I mean, we might be looking at more of a five-year situation here. And it's all just going to depend on how long do some of these cats who've been doing it for a long time, how long do they want to continue to do it? You know, if there winds up a year where just a bulk of officials decide just to retire.
Yeah. Are you going to have to try to coax guys from Missouri? Like, maybe get officials to come across state lines? I mean, I don't know what your options are.
Well, Missouri's, I think they're in a worse spot than
I would
than
imagine
Illinois.
The whole country probably is. It's just not popular thing.
That's right. And I know last fall, not last fall. The last fall where we had high school football, that's going to be an issue too with this whole COVID thing. The last season that they actually played. Right. So fall of 19, Missouri was having to move football games to like Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because they didn't have enough officials to do the majority of games on Friday night. That is something that could be coming to Illinois. Don't know. But
will we have a lot of teams, I wonder, schools proactively schedule games on like Thursdays or Saturdays, rather than wait to have that
I would
issue?
Think Saturday would be a more appealing option than a
it
Thursday.
It probably would be, but, I mean, you might run into the option where you can't get it. You run into the same problem. You're not going to have officials because Saturday's booked, too. So you might have to have Thursdays. I mean, I would think you're going to have schools proactively looking to schedule move games from Friday. I know the traditionalists will be up in arms about it, but that's the predicament we're in right now.
Well, a game on Thursday is better than no game at all.
It's true. Would you rather not play? Yeah.
So it was very distressing to see that this week that the game actually had to be canceled, and especially in the circumstances we are now to lose a game because of that, you know, like That's just a shame.
It is. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. We're hoping to catch up with Janine Lusico.
We're not going to. She's under the weather.
Okay.
So I said we can do this another time.
That is absolutely fine. Of course, Staunton won the South Central Volleyball Conference Championship for the first time since 1999, and they were undefeated up until this week when they lost to North Mac in three sets. It was really a result that reverberated throughout the sport because Staunton had just been rolling, just a phenomenal outfit that they had, and North Mac took them down. That was the only loss that Staunton had on the year. And, David, it's my fault. It's my fault. I lost track of my schedule surroundings.
Yeah. Tell us why.
Well, so I thought Staunton's season was over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just said, well, I'm not going to get into the weeds of how I do things in the morning, but I've got a master schedule of every sport, right? And then I just copy and paste that day into my current file for the morning sports report. And somewhere along the line, I got my copy and my paste confused. I don't know what I did, but I had Staunton as having no more games as I was looking at my schedule. Well, that wasn't correct. So the day they lost to North Mac, I emailed Janine, congratulated her on the South Central Championship, which they had, and on the undefeated season, which was still in progress. And so the next morning, like, oh, they played. Oh, they lost. Oh, crap. I felt so bad. And obviously, you know, I say this a little tongue-in-cheek. It had nothing to do with it, but or did it?
Was North Mac listening?
I don't know. And it's just like there's just certain things, like in the broadcasting business, if there's a no-hitter going on in baseball,
mm-hmm.
you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
If a guy has made a bunch of consecutive free throws and you mention something about, oh, he's made, you know, 10 straight free throws tonight, you know what happens the next free throw. Clank. It's just one of those things. But I felt terrible.
Well,
not to mention, I felt stupid and terrible.
I'm going to assume North Mac was listening and
they were cussing
you out all day long.
We'll show him. That's right.
Who does Tim Mice think he is?
Who's that guy?
And wearing shirts. Who does Tim Mice think he is?
But yeah, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. We'll give your address out on the air.
Yes, please do.
Write letters, angry letters to Tim Mice.
You can just send it on the radio station. That's fine.
From both North Mac and Staunton.
Yes.
How dare you say we were going to lose?
Yeah. So I put the jinx on.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. It was an accident. Sorry.
Doesn't matter. You did it.
But, man, they were a special group. And think about this, too, because, you know, Pena has been at the top of the volleyball conference. And they had only lost, like, a couple of matches, like, in a 2-3-4-year window, like, in conference. In the last couple of years, that's been the only conference match that Staunton has lost. But the way that the schedule is set up, it's the first conference game.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened super early in the year. So this year, Staunton gets the win over Pena. And, I mean, a lot of people just knew that in many ways, that is the conference championship, even though it's this early in the year. But, David, when you have arguably your biggest game of the year, that early in the season, think about how hard it is to stay up for every other game that follows. And I think they played Roxana shortly after, got taken to three sets, but they battled and found a way to win. That to me was one of the more impressive things that they did, was they were able to have the type of dominating success they did after beating Pena and having so much more of the season still to go.
You're right, especially without a postseason. I mean, when you have a game like that so early, not to say that these girls weren't motivated, but you probably lose something along the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just when you've played your biggest game, they call them letdown games or trap games for a reason. And hats off to Staunton for a remarkable year, and sorry about the jinx. We need a break. Back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. Cardinal baseball for you today from the city of brotherly love, 210 WSMI AM 1540. FM 106.9.
I feel it.
And 92.9.
I feel the
brotherly
love.
Oh, boy, they always feel it there, don't they?
They do.
As the batteries rain down. That feels like love.
Yes, it does.
Was that the feel of love or a battery clinking off my head?
You love me. You really like me.
That's right. Rough night for the Redbirds last night. We'll see if they can rebound today. 210 with the coverage. So I guess the Tokyo Olympics are still up in the air.
Are they?
As to whether they're actually going to happen. There seems to be some concern.
They'll happen sometime, for sure.
Maybe. We'll see.
This year or next year.
As of now, they are on. And Litchfield grad and alum Victoria Francis, of course, was on the U.S. Women's Wrestling National Team several years ago. It was over in Kazakhstan?
I think so, yeah.
I think is where she went. But she is at it again. And, David, earlier this week you had a chance to chat with Victoria.
My guest this morning is one of the newest members of the U.S. Women's National Wrestling Team and also a former member of the Litchfield High School Wrestling Team. She is Victoria Francis, and she joins us on the phone today. Victoria, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on today.
Not a problem. How many Olympic trials have you wrestled at now?
I have now wrestled at two. I did 2016 as I was finishing up my career at Lindenwood University, and then I just competed at my second one a couple weeks ago.
You're one of the top wrestlers in the world at the 72-kilo weight class. Kyle Herschelman of the Journal News in Hillsboro actually recently reported that you were planning on wrestling at the 68-kilo class before opting for 76. First of all, is that true? And second, what led you to make that decision?
That is correct. Originally, after the 2019 Worlds, I had made the decision to compete at 68 to try to make the 2020 Olympic team. When trials was canceled due to the pandemic, I kind of had some time to reflect on the past year and realize that trying to cut down and put my body into a box where it just didn't fit was not healthy physically or mentally for me, and I wasn't performing how I used to. So we decided to bump up to 76 and realize that's really where I flourish, you know, mentally and physically. So that's why we kind of went with that decision.
And how confident were you going into the match against Kylie Welker, who eventually upended you?
You know, I went in there pretty confident. I am probably just a little cocky and kind of, I mean, definitely was an upset. High school wrestler defeating me was definitely unexpected. I've never competed against Kylie, but, I mean, I trained with her, you know, a couple years ago, but she has definitely grown and blossomed as a wrestler and has definitely matured, and I was not expecting it, but also, like, looking at the other side of the bracket and you see her, you know, just plowing through, you know, top speeds, I was like, huh, that's definitely a different Kylie than a couple years ago. I wonder what this is going to look like against me. So I definitely went in confident, but dang, she's definitely grown, and I cannot underestimate her again.
Have you wrestled a lot of the opponents you ended up facing in the trials prior to this weekend? Like, did you know about them a lot, or have a lot of knowledge about them going into the trials?
A bit. The only wrestler I had never wrestled before that I did compete against was Chi Chi. I actually don't know how to pronounce the full name. I've never heard it spoken, but my first opponent to wrestle for OCU. I never wrestled her before. I did have a little bit of an idea of what she, you know, looks like and had, you know, some ideas. But Jackie Cataline, I've competed against years ago. And then Diamond Guilford, I've actually competed against her twice this past year and have lost both bouts previous to the Olympic team trials.
We're speaking with Victoria Francis, an alum of Litchfield High School, but also one of the newest members of the U.S. National Wrestling Team. We talked a little bit about the match losing to Kylie Welker. As you said, she's a high school wrestler, was a 14 seed coming into the trials, the eventual runner-up in your class at the trials. What exactly happened during that match?
During that match, kind of towards the beginning, she hit a shot, just, you know, fast single, and it dumped me to my back, which in wrestling is a four-point move. So kind of just a real, you know, good way to, for her to set the match, you know, set the pace. Then the rest of the match was kind of me trying to chip away at that. I believe at one point I got, you know, my trusty front headlock go behind on her to get me 2 points, and then I got a push out, which was another point. So kind of last, you know, 15 seconds of the match, I was still down by one, tried to, you know, throw the kitchen sink at her, failed, and gave up another takedown. So it turned out to be 6-3, fairly close match. Definitely exhausting. It was just throwing so many offensive attempts at her, and she was defending it all. I think we both, you know, had to go catch our breath after that match. But, yeah, that's kind of how it went down.
Well, then, after losing that match, you still had another match after that because you had to face top seed Diamond Guilford, who you said you'd also lost to twice before, in the consolation bracket. Was it a little extra sweet beating her, knowing that you had lost to her twice and that she was the top seed heading into that one?
Absolutely. So we had to face off for a true second to kind of determine, you know, who gets national team. being on the opposite sides of the bracket just to make sure everything's fair and everybody's getting their chance to get that national team spot. And it definitely was sweet. I, you know, had lost to her twice, you know, in the past couple months leading into it. You know, the spot, it's the match to determine if who gets what national team and who's not. So it was definitely a very sweet victory for me, for sure.
Now, you would have liked to have made the Olympic team, but I imagine making the national team has to be a pretty prestigious honor in its own right.
It is. I mean, I do have to kind of reflect and realize that, you know, going into Olympic Cheer House, I feel like everybody's, you know, got that just sharp focus on the number one spot, you know, coming away, you know, being an Olympian. But you do, you know, got to look at the consolation prize. Like, yes, I'm still on the national team. I still get to go and compete. I'm still doing the sport I love. I'm still getting the resources from USA Wrestling and the USOPC. So it's still definitely an honor. You know, when you reflect upon it, I will say probably 10 minutes after I lost my match at Olympic Team Trials, I was not having that insight, definitely upset. But, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm definitely, you know, still just reflecting and realizing how much of an honor it is.
Other than the results, how did this time at the trials differ from your first time, maybe from a mindset perspective?
Yeah, mindset. I feel like I had a lot more pressure on myself this time around. Going in 2016, I was just, you know, I had gone to a couple world team trials, but really had no idea how big Olympic team trials was, didn't realize how big the Olympics were. And I was just like, you know, walking in herpaderf, you know, this is just another tournament. This is fine. And I was, I think, number four seed, you know, still kind of an underdog, just about to graduate from college. So it was just, you know, another tournament. This one was like, all right, I understand how big this is. I understand that I am capable of beating everybody in this bracket if I have, you know, the best day ever. And so there's just a little bit more pressure, but also just, I felt like I enjoy it more. You know, before it was just like, I want to win, but now it's like, all right, I enjoy seeing my friends who are from different states and, you know, doing their thing there. I enjoy, you know, the process of getting ready for a tournament and competing along a couple teammates and, you know, just seeing my growth. So it definitely had its kind of ups and downs as far as different from last time, but definitely different than 2016.
Victoria Francis joining us here on WSMI. You're part of the national team. What does that mean? What happens next with that?
So being a national team member now means, especially with an Olympic year, is we've got an Olympian and we got to make sure that they are 100% ready for Tokyo. So it kind of becomes a selfless role. You know, TAC Quad has been, all right, I want to be ready for Tokyo, but now it's we got to get Adeline ready for Tokyo. Not that she's not already ready. You know, she's an amazing athlete and has her own set of accolades, but just getting them ready. So we're going to have some national team camps sprinkled throughout the summer, and we will be meeting up in various locations in the U.S. to just get them ready, you know. And, of course, I'll still be walking away with my own training through that, but kind of the big goal as a team is to get them ready.
Will you do this again?
Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe I got another Olympic cycle in me. I'm currently 27. 2024 puts me at 30, which is kind of a really good golden year for women wrestlers. So I at least have one more in me. We'll see if I've got another after that.
But you could maybe squeeze in a second after that.
I think so. But, you know, I'm going to take it day by day, year by year, and enjoy it, not look too far forward.
What do you do now? I mean, in your off time when you're not wrestling or competing, what is it you do?
So I don't do too much. I don't have, like, any actual job, but I do freelance graphic design, which is, you know, super flexible and helpful for me, because if I'm, you know, in a really deep training block and just do not have time, I can be like, nope, you know, I cannot take the stretch on. But like just this past week, I had someone call me up like, hey, can you finish up a graphic for us? And I was like, absolutely, and, you know, knock that out like nothing, so I had nothing else to do. So I do that. We have a home that we've been renovating and getting ready to sell. So that's been a big time suck. But so that's kind of what I do. I don't have an actual job. This is, even though on paper, you know, yeah, I only train a couple hours a day, but there's still, you know, there's so much more to it. There's also the mental training. There's, you know, making sure I'm resting and, you know, not just wearing on my body all day and doing video study. And there's so much, you know, off the mat to do. So even though it's not a full-time job, it kind of is.
I don't think we even mentioned where you're located at right now either.
Yes, I currently live in Maryland, kind of the Baltimore area. Me and my husband moved here a couple years ago for his duty station. He is military, so we kind of get plopped wherever they decide, and Maryland was it.
Victoria, thank you so much for joining me today, for taking some time out of your schedule to speak with me. Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we let you go?
You know, I always like to encourage, you know, people to try wrestling. It's definitely not a very popular sport, but, you know, it's definitely got lessons to be learned, and, you know, it might be your sport. You know, if I would have told fifth grade Victoria, hey, you're going to be an elite level wrestler, I would have laughed. So, you know, give it a try, you know, or whatever sport it is, you know, that you have in your heart, you know, give it a try. And, you know, maybe you'll fall in love with it. Maybe it'll lead to something even better. So I would like to send out a little bit of that encouragement.
Thanks, Victoria, for taking a few minutes out of your time. Good luck with everything moving forward as well.
Yeah, and I appreciate you having me on. It's nice chatting with you.
Litchfield graduate Victoria Francis, part of the U.S. Women's National Wrestling Team. And, David, you mentioned she wrestled at Litchfield while in high school, and coming up, I think it's May 19th, might be May 15th, one of those two. We're going to have wrestling on the radio.
Hey.
Hillsboro Litchfield.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
That's going to be fun.
Good for Carlisle as well. Unfortunately, he won't be able to defend his title because there's going to be no wrestling postseason, but hopefully he has another good season.
You know, we were talking about how like that softball super sectional that Southwestern played in seemed like 10 years ago. Same thing for Will Carlisle winning state. You know, if you think about it, that really was one of the, well, I guess, yeah, it really was one of the last things.
Yeah.
That happened before all this went down.
Right.
I mean, we had him in studio. It was fantastic. Talking about how he's going to come back, defend his title. Well, unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, man, that seems like a long time ago.
Looking back, he'll probably further in the future, he'll be disappointed obviously this season and maybe even next year, but in the near future there will be some gratefulness that he got a postseason and that
right.
he got to do
well,
it.
And he won't be able to say he was a three-time state champion, but he'll be able to say he was state champion for 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Reigning state champion since 2019.
Like Williamsville football. How long have they been the reigning 3A champion?
2 years now, that's right.
Just about, yeah.
Hey, during the Victoria interview, Louis Lane called. He's had three umpires contact him within the last month or so, one from Coffeen, one from Mulberry Grove, one from Litchfield, about getting into umpiring, good. And Louis is helping him out. So again,
hooking up a bit.
Hook up. If you want to do it, hook up with Louis Lane. That is just a great resource to kind of get you off on the right foot. Thank you very much to Peg Mitchell, Jeremy Smith, and Victoria Francis for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Again, our volleyball game from last night podcasted, available for you online at WSMIRadio.com. Cardinal baseball today, 210 AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9 Cards and the Phillies. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.